DJ Clips, Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lib, Far Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Rev City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best, the Chemist Music Group.
Yes, sir. Back in the building again. When you hear DJ Clips and Rev City, you know what time it is. We got a good draft special for you today. C Rush back in the building. What's going on, C Rush?
Ain't nothing over here, man. Just enjoying this summer day.
That's good. T Wilson back in the building. He was off on Saturday once again. We do not pay for sick days, so I hope you had a good time, T Will. Welcome back.
Man, thanks, man. Just got finished climbing Mount Everest with the family. You know, we just came down the other day, but we had a great time climbing.
That's good, man. You can't turn down an all-day pass climbing Mount Everest, so I'm not even mad at you. You can't do that. But before we get started, there's a congratulations in order. T. Wilson was named, I believe it was a couple months back, he was named the head football coach at Southeastern High School a couple months ago. But just recently, he was named the athletic director, so I'm going to let him talk about that a little bit. But first, T, I want to know, what the heck did you say during this interview that not only got you the football job, that the guy said, man, you know what, take my job too. What did you say?
Well, first off, Derek Hayes, he's a great guy. He's a Detroit guy, played at Southwestern. In those days where Southwestern was the team in Detroit, he went to University of Detroit Mercy, played with them, played with Bakari Alexander and those teams, Rashard Phillips and Jermaine Jackson back in that day. But he's a great guy, God-fearing man, and when he wanted to step down from this position and pursue other things in our building to help out our student body, you know, I was one of the first names that came to mind. You know, he said he definitely liked the way I did things, the way I was organized, the way I ran, everything was structured and things like that. So when the position became open, you know, he actually recommended me to the A team, which is our administrative team in the building. And they were on board with it because they said they had the same thoughts about me. So, you know, I just thank those guys over at Detroit Southeastern because they really put a lot of faith and trust in me and to deal with these students and things like that. And that's what I want to do. That's why we're all in the coaching game and things like that, is to help young men and women, you know, especially in our inner city.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, when I heard that news, I said, man, that must be one heck of an interview, man. But, you know, all jokes aside, you know, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. And, you know, I really do like you being in the inner city and, you know, helping our kids out in Detroit, man. I really do think you're a great mentor and role model for them, man. And, you know, all jokes aside, congratulations on that, man. And all the best of luck to you, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's fine.
All right, man. Let's, you know, before we talk about the draft and dig into it. See, Rush, let's start with you. And before we talk about the draft, let's talk about, first of all, can you still build through the draft right now? Can you still win by adding pieces through the draft? With this era, as you know, in free agency, guys are teaming up. Can you still win through the draft?
You can win through the draft as long as you're not in the lottery. You know, we've seen teams like the Spurs, the Lakers, the Celtics, they add pieces on the back end of a draft because their upper management is very good at what they do. Now, if you're drafting lottery, you're either getting a great player to rent out or you're drafting a role player. You know, it's only certain times generational players come around, like a LeBron, like a Kyrie Irving, even if you want to throw his name out there. You know, those players are leaving. You know, and the Anthony Davis, they're not giving you that wow quality of a number one player. You know, when I think number one, I think Patrick Ewing. I think Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. I think players who impact the game. Now, it's sad when I can barely just pick out number one players over the past 5 years. I'm not that old, you know. Like Bargnani from Toronto, is he a number one? No, but he went number one, you know, and you really can't build around him because he's not the superstar type player to build around. He's going to be quiet, take his money, and stay in Toronto, you know. So when you're talking about building a franchise, I believe if you're drafting top 10 or higher, you're just going to rent that player, and hopefully you get lucky and he stays, hopefully. But with, like you said, with the players wanting to pair up, go other places, you're just trying to just, okay, let's make a good three-year run, see if we can keep him or get somebody here, or we're going to be back in the same position again. So those days of drafting lottery picks and putting your faith in one player, those days are done, in my opinion.
Now, see, Rush, it sounds like if you were the GM, and if you're staring in the eye of drafting Bargnani, it sounds like you would just trade the pick. Now, do you think it's better to just say, hey, you know what, let's see what Bargnani turns out to be? Or do you say, you know what, let's ship this pick?
Well, you never want to turn down number one no matter what you do, you know, unless what you get back is going to be of equal value, and it's hard to get number one value back. It's a situational thing. With the Bargnani draft, I would have had to trade that pick because I can't think of guys in that 2007 draft. You know, now if you're today the Cleveland Cavaliers, you can actually trade that pick and get some stuff back because the hype is around certain players. In this draft, you may be able to get more now than you could in 2007, in my opinion. But it's harder for me to make an argument to keep that number one pick because, for one, you don't know what you're getting. Two, you don't know how long they're going to stay. And three, there is no household name going number one. You know, when it's debatable, then you really got to question yourself, say, well, can he go number one? Could he go number one? No. Number one is, okay, I want him. Everybody knows it, you know, and that's hard to do.
Yeah, T. Will, I want you to put your GM fitted cap on here. You know, can you still build through the draft? And because I personally, T, I look at Oklahoma City and then you see Kevin Durant. You see Westbrook, James Harden. Now all of a sudden James Harden's a max player somewhere else. I mean, can you still build this thing through the draft, T-Will?
I think it's a slim chance. I mean, you can build it to a certain extent, but I believe if you really want to build your team, I think you just have to win in free agency. I think you can build the foundation of your team in a draft, but when it comes down to it, you have to win in free agency. I mean, this has happened in the last, 14, 15 years, dating back to when Jordan won in 98 and Robinson and Duncan, they won in 99. After that, man, free agency took over the NBA, fine. I mean, it became a new way to be a competitor. I mean, look at the Lakers after that. They started it off, they got Shaq, and now what they go out and do, win three straight NBA championships, you know, and had interchangeable role players throughout that run. Free agency. You know, the Spurs are one of the franchises that was consistent at building through the draft. You know, and they added Duncan and Parker to an already veteran team. And kudos to Pop. You know, they grabbed titles in 03 and 05, and I think that's why Popovich gets so much credit for what he does. You know, and you know, look at our hometown Pistons. You know, they got a ring in 04. And the only draft pick I could recall on that team is like Tayshaun Prince, and he went 23rd overall. You know, their entire roster, fine. I mean, they came from free agency or via trade. You know, Billups, Rip, Shee, you know, Big Ben, Mike James, and oh yeah, Mehmet. You know, Mehmet Okur. We drafted him in the second round. So I mean, then you look past there. You know, the Heat, they got Shaq in free agency. They won a title. You know, the Boston Celtics, they loaded up on free agents. You know, KG, Ray Allen, they won a title. The Lakers, what they go out and do? Get Paul Gasol. What do? Win two more titles. So free agency, that's what we're doing. And right now, you look at, you know, look at the big three in Miami, you know, plus Ray Allen, free agency. Two out of the big three are free agents. You know, Dwayne Wade was drafted there. So needless to say, you know, if you're winning in a free agency, man, you're winning rings, you know, unless you're Pop, you know, he's probably the only one out here that's doing that right now. But the draft, man, to me, right now is just a springboard for these rookies, you know, shedding some light on what Shane said. You know, look at Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Do you think that he'll stay in Charlotte after he blows up? No. He'll be right in free agency trying to get paid from a contender. You know, Kyrie Irving, he'll be a free agent next year. You know, will he remain in Cleveland? I mean, we don't know. But the guy before him, he tried it, and it didn't work out for him.
Well, see, I want to know who's responsible for this, T. Well, I want to ask you this. I mean, like you said, the guys at the back end of drafts, it seems like they're helping teams more. So do you think the onus are on the scouts, or would you say the expectation for the guys in the lottery, they just can't live up to it? And if I get drafted in the 20s, I'm ready to play. There's not a lot expected from me. Who's at fault here? Is it the expectations or is it the scouts?
Well, I think it's the expectations. We're drafting some of these kids in the lottery that aren't lottery players, you know. But when you look at it, they're the best available player for a team to draft. So I think those kids that are in the lottery, it's almost unfair to them, and they're coming out with unfair expectations rather than the kids that are drafted a little bit later. You know, Mario Chalmers goes first pick in the second round. You know, that, to me, that's a great pickup. You know, but there are guys that to me they had less of a skill set. They were drafted, you know, in the lottery, you know. So I think it's all about where teams are picking these guys. And if you pick them too high, I mean, that puts a certain expectation on them, and they're just not reaching it.
Yeah, T. Will, I mean, I think you really hit the nail right on the head. I mean, look at the Lakers, 16 chips, 32 division titles. You know, they don't win through the draft. I don't even know if they have scouts that work for the Lakers, because they don't even care. They want the best players on their team. That's what they want. So it's not like the Miami Heat just started this. My father actually always said, oh, Miami's buying championships. Well, what have the Lakers been doing the whole time? The Lakers have been doing nothing but winning, and they've been doing it through free agency. Like you said, Shaq went there. They got a three-peat. Hey, let's pick up Paul Gasol. Get a couple more. Free agency has been clearly the way to go. You know, like I said, people complain that LeBron left and they say, oh, the decision was a little too much. Well, here's the thing about that, though, T. Will and C. Rush. Over 10 million people viewed that. So, oh, we complain about it, but over 10 million people watch it. I got to be honest. I'm not a lacrosse fan, so I don't watch lacrosse. I'm not about to watch a lacrosse game and then complain about it after and say, oh, that's a terrible sport. I just don't like it, so I don't watch it. Nothing personal against it. But it's 10 million people out there watching it. Someone wanted to see it, obviously. So, but before we move on, I just want to ask you guys this a quick question here. The one and done rule at college. See, Rush, do you think that we should just throw that rule out? And if a guy's good enough to go to the NBA, let him go. What do you think? Keep the fact that you got to go for college 1 year, or just, hey, let him jump in. What do you think?
I mean, I'm torn because I don't like to see anybody not get money, but they got to do one and done. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this is not golf. This is not baseball. You're going against grown men. You know, you're going against people who got to feed their family. You 18, you 19. Yeah. You're athletic. You can do this and that. Out of every LeBron James, it's a Joe Dokes who won't make it, you know, and it's kind of diluting the NBA. Yeah, Andrew Wiggins may be able to go, but, you know, if he goes, somebody else may be like, oh, I can go too. No, you can't. Everybody's not that player. So do 1 year. Just do 1 year. Heck, I even say go 2 years in some cases, you know, because it's bringing down the quality of college basketball, for one, because they're renting players there, and that's a whole nother subject. And two, it's bringing down the quality of the NBA because guys are going and they're not ready. You know, they're just sitting on the bench, just they're in the NBA, but they're not producing. They're not doing anything.
T. Will, I mean, do you think that we should continue to let them go for 1 year, or we should say, hey, go to the NBA if you're good enough?
Well, I think they should implement a rule kind of like the NFL has. I think you should have to go to college for 2 years. You know, it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment to go to a four-year university, probably one of the best in the country, for 2 years of your life. And you never know. After those 2 years, you may want to come back for a third and maybe even a fourth. You know, so I think that we should take the decision making out of everyone's hand, make it mandatory that you play at least or that you're at least 2 years into a university, so you can't come out as a redshirt freshman technically. But 2 years into a university before you come out of school, I think a lot of young men were messing up their lives coming out of high school directly into the NBA, getting bad advice and directly affecting their lives. I'd rather play the safe side. Hey, 2 years at a university, it won't kill you, and then you can make a mature decision.
Yeah, I think it should be two or zero. One, I think, is the worst solution. I really do. I think it should be two or nothing. Okay, let's get going here, and let's, you know, Cleveland Cavaliers, they won it again. They won that secret lottery behind the door, T-Wheel. They won it again, and they got the number one pick. So who would you take? Not who do you think they'll take? Let's be clear on this. Who, you're the GM, who do you take?
Well, since the NBA hasn't paid back its debt fully to Cleveland for LeBron leaving them like that, I guess they will be blessed with another number one pick.
Exactly.
But just looking at Cleveland, I mean, they had two of the top four picks in 2011, you know, and they drafted their point guard of the future, Kyrie Irving, and their future big man in Tristan Thompson, okay? They're really missing a wing player, you know, that can score and take some of that scoring load off Kyrie. You know, they need a wing player so Kyrie can be a distributor and make his teammates better. I think two guys right off the bat can fill that void, man, and that's Ben McLemore from Kansas and Shabazz Muhammad from UCLA. You know, both these guys have bright futures and they can flat out score. You know, a lot of people that they think that Nerlens Noel is the consensus number one pick in the draft. Maybe if he didn't get hurt, but I just know Dan Gilbert. You know, he'll lean towards someone that can contribute right now. Noel, he's not projected back until around Christmas at the earliest, and we don't know how much he'll be able to contribute then. You know, Dan Gilbert, you know, he wants that sexy pick. He wants a guy who can come in right now and have an impact and help people get back excited about Cleveland. So my pick for the Cleveland Cavaliers, the number one overall pick, would be Ben McLemore by a hair over Shabazz Muhammad.
See, Rush, I want you to put that GM snap back on and put a Cleveland Cavalier symbol on it, and, you know, who you got?
Well, Cleveland, again, that number one pick, that phantom number one pick in that room, they get it again. So they also have a 17th pick, so that kind of altered how I viewed this. You know, like T-Will said, yeah, they have Tristan Thompson. They also have Tyler Zeller up there as well. Last year they drafted Deion Waiter, a combo guard, you know, but he's not the sexy pick like T. Will said. So me myself, it's two guys: Ben McLemore, Otto Porter. You know, they need somebody who's going to score. They need a high IQ player, and Ben McLemore wins by a hair because you can drop him in there right now, and that's a dynamic backcourt with him and Kyrie Irving. You know, and that would be a perfect fit to probably entice Kyrie to, okay, let's stay here. Look how young we are. You know, we can't even, our rental car insurance is too high. All of us are under 25, you know, so we can grow together. And then with the 17th pick, if you want a big man, go get Mason Plumlee. Go get Kelly Olynyk from Gonzaga. You know, if you want to go that route, you still have, it's not like they just have one first round pick. So get the player that's going to fit perfect with your superstar, and then take a complimentary pick later, because I don't know how many picks Stern gave them this year, but I'm sure they have more than those too. So they can just be safe and draft Ben McLemore.
Okay, here's my problem that I'm having with this is, you know, like you said, they drafted D. Waiters last year. Here's my problem. I don't know how good he's going to be yet. That's my problem. Is he going to be a, you know, 15 to 20 point player a game at the two spot? So I'm going to go right now, and this is who I would pick. I like Anthony Bennett to play their small forward position. I really do. I mean, he's big, strong defender. He can rebound, and I really do like Anthony Bennett at this spot. So T, I want to ask you this: what is D. Waiters, is he going to give them something, or do you just say, hey, let's take McLemore because Waiters is going to give us nothing? I mean, what are you expecting out of D. Waiters?
To be honest with you, I'm just hope he comes, progresses in his development as a player. We touched on it earlier, Fine. We talked about players being drafted almost in unfair positions. You know, looking at that draft last year, looking at some of those guys that were drafted early on, I think Deion Waiters, he went way too high at number four, in my personal opinion. I think just looking at the draft from last year, I see about three or four guys that ought to pick ahead of him. So I think he's one of those guys that we just talked about, Fine, that was drafted in one of those unfair positions, and now there's a ton of expectation on him. And when you don't deliver on the court, now we're having this conversation about him. You know, so because if he's out there producing as that wing player that Cleveland needs, now we're saying, you know what, they may not need a wing player. Maybe they need another big, you know, to go along with Tristan Thompson, or maybe they may need a backup point guard. guard to give Kyrie a blow. So whatever the case may be, but we're talking about Deion Waiters. I just hope he progresses in his development, and I think number four overall was just a bad spot to draft him in.
Yeah, I think we can all agree with that, T-Will. I mean, the draft last year just wasn't that good, so they went with D-Waiters. But see, Rush, I want to ask you this because I'll be honest with you. If you draft the same position 2 years in a row, C-Rush, we all know what that's saying is you're just not good enough. That's what that's saying. So I'm so I'll ask you, do you think D-Waiters is going to be that 15 to 20-point player, or do you say, I just don't see it happening? I don't see his ceiling being that high.
I mean, like we just said, I don't know. So I'm going to cover my butt and draft somebody whose ceiling is going to be higher than his. I think on the same plateau, I think Ben McLemore will be a better player than Deion Waiters will be. You know, he was drafted four, not out of talent-wise, out of just, you know, what we had in the pool. You know, so Anthony Bennett would be a great fit for them, in my opinion, as well. But I don't know how high they are on Deion Waiters because they're doing all this Ben McLemore talk, you know, and like Nerlens Noel doesn't even come to my mind with this guy. He's on crutches, you know. I don't want to take my chances with him or the big from Maryland, Alex Lynn. I don't want to take my chances with them. So it would have to be that scoring, get to the basket, Ben McLemore, or like you said, Anthony Bennett. That's it. And Deion Waiters, he's kind of just, he's up in the air right now.
Yeah.
Point guard of Kyrie, is he going to be fighting for a starting position? We don't know. So if they're thinking about it, then that's telling me that they're not even sure.
Yeah. So, T-Will, let's talk about Noel for a second with that number one pick. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I see Noel as being a player that rebounds, that blocks shots. He doesn't have back-to-the-basket game yet. To me, it sounds like the Birdman, and the Birdman just made the veterans minimum. So, I mean, am I wrong about Noel, or is his ceiling better? But that's what he sounds like to me.
Well, to me, he reminds me of the center that came out of Kentucky the previous year, Anthony, I believe his name was, Unibrow. He's had similar game to him. He's long. You know, he's going to have an impact on the defensive end. In the NBA, does that translate? You know, having a small frame, you know, having big body guys down on that block, you know, once they get into your chest, that negates all of that. You know, so, I mean, I see him being a pretty solid weak side defender, you know. But as the number one overall pick, I just don't like the way his game translates in the NBA. You know, I'm just not a big fan of it. I don't see him as a consensus number one overall pick, you know, especially if I'm drafting a seven-footer that's long, and when I dump it down to the box, you're not giving me a guaranteed bucket. So I don't see him as being a consensus number one.
Yeah, I just think he's a highly touted energy guy. Like, that's what I see Noel as. But,
correct.
But see, Rush, let's, I mean, you know, when this draft is said and done, and we look back like everybody always looks back at the 03 draft. You know, people look at a couple other drafts, but when this is said and done, who's going to have the best? I know injuries. I know injuries is a big part of basketball, and I get that. But when we look back on this thing in about 5 or 6 years, who would have the best career so far?
5 or 6 years, I'm going to say Trey Burke. And that's not the homer pick. It's the safe pick because he's going to go into a situation where he's going to be drafted at 5 or lower and nothing's going to be expected of him because he's going to play along somebody who's probably pretty good himself. You know, all these guys get lottery picks. It's swirling that he may end up in Sacramento. If you put him, Tyreek Evans and DeMarcus Cousins, that's a pretty formidable team right there. You know, I just think that he shows the intangibles of being a leader. He can hit the big shots. He can defend, which is highly underrated that he showed me he can defend. And I just think that his game and his will to win is going to set him off from everybody else. All these other players, I'm not sure. If I'm not sold on a number one pick, I got to be sold on somebody who proved to me what they can do. What I've seen with my own eyes. And I was tossing up between him and Otto Porter, and I don't know what situation he may go to, but the eyeball test is all I have to go by. I can't go by potential with this, because in college, he was the best college player. So I just got to lean with him and say he may have the best NBA career out of these guys.
T. Will, when you look back at this thing 5 or 6 years down the line, who you see having the best career so far?
Well, it came down to two wing players to me. I think Shabazz Muhammad playing the wing. I think his game will get better. I think he'll develop more of a jump shot. I like his basketball IQ. I like the way he attacks the basket. And if he commits to the defensive end, I think he can have a heck of a career. Also, a guy who's coming into the draft with defense is, you know, his staple. Plus, he's a heck of a slasher and can knock down the long ball. You know, Victor Oladipo, I see him also coming in and possibly having – he may have the longest career out of all of these guys, because he always commits to the defensive end. You know, so it was a toss-up between those two guys. But I think when we look back at it 5 or 6 years from now, you know, Shabazz Muhammad may be the cream of the crop coming out of this draft.
Yeah, when I look at it, I got to agree with C. Rush on this one. And you know, I'm a Michigan fan. I'm not trying to be biased. But I think it's Trey Burke as well. And the reason is because he makes everyone around him better. And to be a successful point guard in the NBA – I don't care who offense you play in, guys. You have to be able to run the screen and roll. And I think Trey Burke is going to be deadly in the screen and roll game. I really do. But, T-Will, let's talk about Muhammad a little bit more. It sounded like when you were speaking, when you talked about him, it sounded like you felt he was a little underused at UCLA and he didn't really show what all he could do.
Well, as we all know, in the college game, some players, you may get a player that average, you know, 12 points a game. But you may say, you know what, that guy has NBA game. He's playing within the offense. He's doing what the coach is asking him to do. But when he gets to the next level, he will excel. You know, we've seen guys like that in college basketball. You know, so and I think Muhammad is one of those guys. I think once he gets on the floor, you know, he gets that free reign to actually play ball, get to run a little bit, and he's not, you know, restricted in the offense, you know, every time down calling a play and things like that. I think he'll get loose. I think he'll get loose and he'll turn some heads. I think we all seen what he could do in high school, but that's one thing. You know, he came into the college game, one of the most premier programs in the country, UCLA. Had a pretty good freshman year. He can definitely improve, and I think with his work ethic and what he brings to the table, that he has all the tools and intangibles to be one of the best players coming out of this draft.
Right. Now, see, Rush, when you look at this draft, it obviously is not a, you know, a guy that just sticks out to say, hey, you know what, put a billboard right now in the middle of the city of them. But if you look at this draft, would you say it's a deep draft, or would you say it's just not very good overall?
I mean, when we – every time we view stuff, we look at the history of it. You know, every draft is going to be comparable to that 2003 draft. Nothing's going to compare to that in our lifetime, you know. So is the draft – superstar heavy? No. But there's some good quality players in this draft to where you put them in the right situation, they can benefit your team. If you're trying to draft a player to change your franchise and put that billboard up and sell tickets and everything, then you just hit simulate this year. You know, just try to get in the Andrew Wiggins lottery. But if you want a player who can contribute energy, you know, players who've proven what they can do in college, because we can't go off potential anymore. You know, I just want to go off, what have you done? Oladipo has done a lot. Trey Burke has done a lot. Noel, I don't know. Even Shabazz Muhammad, in the little time he spent at UCLA, he did a lot. You know, his game is going to be very good in the NBA, and that's, we'll get to that later. But I don't think it's a wild player in this draft. It's just a get deeper draft, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen with this draft is I think it's a lot of you know, kind of like Draymond Green stories out there. You know, you look at Draymond Green when he was at college, he was like, okay, he's not going to get drafted in the top 10, but he's going to help somebody. He can rebound, he can pass, he can defend. So I think it's a lot of those stories out there, and I think it's going to be some guys that help teams, but I don't think it's that billboard guy out there, I have to say. But, all right, we got to spend some time and talk about our Detroit Pistons. I mean, we have to. I think this is a crucial year for us. We hired Maurice Cheeks We have the 8th draft pick on Thursday. T-Wheel, need you to put back on that piston fitted cap. You know, play a little Joe Dumars. No, let's not do that. Just be yourself. And
please don't say that.
Who would you take, T-Wheel?
I'm glad I don't have to be Joe Dumars. well, if I'm the GM, fine. And Shane, what I'm doing right now, I'm looking for a wing player to go along with Brandon Knight and our two big fellas. You know, to compliment Greg Monroe and Drummond. You know, if I have the ability to choose between Victor Oladipo or Shabazz Muhammad, that's still available at that spot, I think we're in a good spot. You know, if those two are available, we are in business. You know, if not, then you have to look at drafting at a position that we already have talent at, you know, by taking the best available player, which could be like maybe a Cody Zeller from Indiana, Michael Carter Williams from Syracuse, or I'll even throw in a Mason Plumlee from Duke, you know. And some people may think that's kind of high, but I could care less, you know. I prefer a wing player, though, so we can fill a need rather than add depth in it, you know, at this point, you know. I like the way this draft is set up for the Pistons all the way around, fine. I mean, we have that number 8 pick in the first round. We have 2 second-round picks, and, you know, and there will still be some big names, you know, in the second round, like C.J. Leslie from NC State, Archie Goodwin from Kentucky, Deshaun Thomas from Ohio State, Trevor Mbakwe from Minnesota, Ray McCollum from UAD. You know, so if we play our cards right, we can have a very productive draft, but I think in that first round, we need that wing player, man. We need an Oladipo or Shabazz Muhammad, if either or are available.
See, Rush, put that snapback back on, man. Who you got?
I've been riding this Shabazz Muhammad train since he declared. I think if you drop him down with Brandon Knight in our front line, that can be dangerous, you know. And Mo Cheeks, I'm sure he's going to bring in a free agent, and Joe D are going to bring in a 3 free agent. It's the no brainer for me, because we need somebody who can put the ball in the basket. Somebody who's not afraid to get into the basket, you know. I would love for Oladipo to be there, but, you know, I got to be honest with myself, and we all should be. He won't be there. We know he'll be gone, you know. And like T-Will said, you know, at the end of this draft, this second round, it's a lot of quality players back there. You know, if you want C.J. Leslie from NC State, who's a very quality player, you know, you want hometown favorite Ray McCollum, he's a great player. You know, kid has scholarships everywhere. Just went to school here and stayed with his father. You know, so if you want to push Brandon Knight, as they're talking about, don't do it in the first round, please. That's taking 8 steps back again. We got lucky getting them a couple years ago. Let them play. You know, it's the old coaching regime had him on the bench. So really and truly, even this season, they brought in another veteran point guard and trying to flip-flop him. Let him play the point guard position and see what you have, and let him play with a wing scorer. You know, no disrespect, but he can't play next to Kyle Singler. No disrespect, he can't play next to Rodney Stuckey. You know, we know what those guys are. So put Shabazz Muhammad in there, and let's see how he develops. Let's see what we have. Let's see if we can fight and be competitive again. You know, let's see if we can hear Mason yell Detroit basketball anytime other than the first game of the year. So I would just like to see some excitement in a 2 player that can wow us. We haven't had that in a while, since Joe D retired. So
yeah, I think we could have a good situation if the Cleveland Cavaliers draft Lynn or Noel. I think that we're going to have great options at this 8th spot. I really do, because I think that's going to make a lot of chips begin to fall. Because I think Oladipo is going to go 2 if Ben McLemore goes 1. But if they decide to take one of these post players, I think this is going to be great for Detroit. I got to be honest, I like 3 players here. I really do. I like Carter Williams, Burke, and I like Mohammed as well. I really do hope that we have the opportunity, I got to be honest, to get Trey Burke to play with that 4 and 5 for the next 10 years. I would really like to see that. But also, if we drafted Muhammad, I wouldn't be mad at all as well. I think he does. I have to agree with you, T-Will and C-Rush. I think you look at a guy and you say, I don't care what his numbers was in college. He has NBA game. And T-Will, you alluded to something, taking Plumlee a little early. Now, let me ask you this. do you think a lot of times that guys should just take what they need instead of looking at the pick and say, oh, this is in the lottery, so we can't draft him?
Well, to me, that's never been an issue with me. I've always said, you know, you should take what you need or take that best available player. I don't care what number it is. You know, I mean, there's not a guarantee that you can trade down. You may trade down and lose value, you know, so I'm going to get the best value available there. You know, if I feel like, you know, at this point in time, if I bring Plumlee in, he could be the third big man, you know, to come in for Drummond and Monroe to give those guys a spell, then you know what? So be it. And if it's at number eight, then, you know, hey, that's the value we get for it. You know, I guarantee you that wouldn't be the worst draft move that we pulled in Detroit.
See, Rush, I got to ask you, too. Because a lot of times we look back at drafts and we say, man, that guy was drafted number five. And, you know, he's really not that good. And maybe, you know, the GM is going off a team need. Do you look at the number or do you look at value?
You got to look at the value. If it's there for a trade possibility, then you can open up a lot of doors. But I got to go with what's going to produce for me. You know, I can't just say, oh, it's lottery. Hey, I got to draft this guy. No, you can't do that, or you're going to be in this position every single year like the Bobcats, you know, or other teams that just are lottery teams. So you got to, like T. Will said, we haven't had the best drafting experiences in our lifetime. You know, we've drafted the Mateen Cleaves in our lifetime. So, We can't draft off of, you can't draft off of heart. You can't draft off loyalty. You got to draft off winning, because the only loyalty is winning, you know. And I just really hope that we do not mess this up. You know, I've been paying very close attention to the blog sites about this draft in particular, because this draft is going to make or break us this year.
Yeah, I have to agree with both of you guys. I've never understood people drafting people because of where it is. I mean, draft a guy because A, you can trade him to get what you need, or B, trade him because you need him. To me, that just doesn't make sense to me. But like you said, we've seen some strange drafts in Detroit. But T. Will, let's, you know, should we try to move up, or do you like this spot we're in right now?
Well, the last 2 years, we're 7-8 spot, or right around that mid area. Like, we're just, you know, where the quality players are just going, and now you're coming into that second tier. We're back here again. But, you know, I don't think we need to move up in this draft, you know, unless there's just somebody that Joe has fell in love with again. You know, I think this is one of the best drafts in recent years, to where, you know, if we're in a position that we have to take the best available player, you know, it's still a quality player. You know, I think the second tier of guys are better in this draft. And for that reason, I would stand firm with that number eight pick fine. I mean, I just don't see any need to trade any future picks, or, you know, to move up when we could be productive at number eight. Now, in the second round, if you get the person that you want with the seventh overall pick in the second round, and you want to finish your draft strong, and you want to use that third pick in the second round, which is the 26th overall, and you want to move up to, you know, to finish out your draft even stronger, then I'm all for that if you want to finish the draft stronger in the second round. But to move up from that number eight pick, I will really stand firm with that thing this year.
T, please don't say you. I hope he doesn't fall in love with anybody, because you know what that means. So I hope,
me. He already fell in love.
Game time.
I hope he didn't fall in love with anybody. See, Rush, you like our spot, or you wanna finagle it, or what you wanna do?
No, just be patient and have a poker face on. Like you said earlier, you know, if they draft one of the bigs, the chips are falling like we want it to. You know, and then but if they draft a guard, then he may do something silly. So just stay the course. You know, we're gonna have options. Now, the only option's gonna fall on Joe Dumars, though, or who to pick. You know, in the like T. Will said, the back end of this draft, if you want to get creative, you want to put your own touches on it, by all means. But we cannot mess up this eighth pick. We have to pick the the best fit for the Pistons.
So you want him to get creative in the second round, not the first round.
Yeah, do what you want to do. I want regular bacon and eggs in the first round. Second round, do what you want. I just want, because I've seen it. We've gotten lucky, actually. We've gotten Andre Drummond to fall into our lap. We've gotten Brandon Knight to fall into our lap. You know, we can get something else to fall into our lap. Because it's nothing to reach for, in my opinion.
Right. Now, T-Will, I think that, now, I personally feel if Trey Burke is there at 8, you have to take him. That's the way I feel.
I agree.
Now, okay, so let me ask you this. Are you comfortable with having B. Knight and Trey Burke play together in the backcourt for the next 10 years? Would you be okay with that?
It's not ideal. It's something I would have to see, like a coach at practice. You don't know how a play is going to work. He's like, you know what, let's run it a few times. Let's see how it looks. I will have to see how it looks fine at practice, or maybe a half a season or something. Maybe trade Brandon Knight, but if it didn't work. But at the same time, I couldn't pull it. I don't know. Like I said, I would have to see how it works. If it did, it may be a perfect fit. You know, you could roll with that backcourt, you know, for maybe the next 8 to 10 years. But if it doesn't, you would definitely have to get Brandon Knight out of town.
Right. Now, see, Rush, now, I know if you look at their size, it's not an ideal 1 and 2 if you look at the size. But we're talking about two high IQ players. Are you okay with seeing this for the next 10 years?
Am I okay seeing it? Yes, I'm okay seeing it, but who are we going to defend? You know, that's something else that we got to take into account. We're going to have if we have those two and they stay together, we'll still have a great front line. But those two playing the guard, we've seen them before here in Detroit with Isaiah and Joe Dumars, but the league is transitioning. You know, it worked slightly with Monte and Brandon Jennings, you know, and it can work, but ideally, defensively, it's going to cause a lot of matchup problems. But to get me back in the Palace, I want them both. I'll take them both. To get me back in the Palace personally, I'll take them both, because I would like the excitement of what could happen, you know. And, I mean, if he's there, you got to take the best. You got to take him.
Yeah,
you got to take him.
Yeah, I don't think beggars can be choosers. And right now, we got to be honest. I mean, we're beggars. And I would have to say, yes, I'll take that as well. Yes, defensively, that could be a problem. But, hey, with a strong 4 and 5 down low, hey, Rip Hamilton had no defense at all. And we had one of the best defenses in the league, because Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace was down low, you know, cleaning up his mess. So, I mean, hey, you know, I think Drummond and Greg Monroe, I think they could help it out. But hey, like I said, right now, we're just not very good. Like T-Will said in the last podcast, we're not that good. So if we got to go with Trey Burke and Brandon Knight, I would love to see it. But T-Will, let's put it in stone right now. Are we included when the Wilson Rush podcast do the playoff preview next year? Are we talking about the Pistons?
That's a great question to put somebody on the spot with. And I'm going to let you know right off the bat, Fine. You know, it's tough to answer that question, you know, because there's so many variables right now. You know, I mean, we still had a draft, you know, trades, free agency. But I really think heavily it depends on what happens in free agency and who lands where and who leaves their current situation. You know, my long shot guess would be no, because our roster is to the point where it's still brutal, man. We have guys like Charlie V, Jason Maxill on our roster. You know, we need to clean house, you know, keep our young pieces in place, have a great draft, and sign a few free agents to get this thing back to respectability, man. You know, to be honest with you, man, I'm getting a little upset because I'm tired of my home team, man, you know, being a doormat of the league. Just thinking about it, you know, get Joe out of here. You know, I'm just going to come out and say it. You know, he doesn't have a clue what he's doing, man. You know, Darko, really, Joe? Darko, I'm over here thinking about that right now. Darko, you know, how do you miss in that draft? You know, you got Melo, Bosh, D-Wade. Hell, you got David West. Darko, Joe, seriously? Man, great guy, terrible draft, and he pisses me off. I'm really ticked off thinking about that. But to answer your question, no. No, we're not in the playoffs.
Now, see, Rush, sometimes you can get in the playoffs, man, in the East, you know, with, you know, 30-something wins sometimes, man. So I'm going to put this ball in your court, man. Are we playing the Heat in the first round next year or what?
Oh, man. So he, huh. I mean, truth be told, could we be? Yes, we could be. But we got to go through free agency. We gotta figure out who's coming. What free agents are we going to oversign this summer? You know, it's dependent on T-Will's boy, Joe Dumars, on what he wants to do. You know,
ain't my boy. Ain't not my boy.
it's easy for me to say yes right now because, I mean, the Bucks made it, you know, and they're losing Monte. So, I mean, I think we can beat the Bucks. You know, it's easy for me to say yes, but I don't know what this draft is going to do. I don't know how free agency is going to roll. We got a new coach. I'm just going to take a leap of faith, and I may get maybe like that one girl on prom night and get my heart broken again, but I'm going to step out there and say yes, that we will lose 4-0 in the first round of the 2014 NBA playoffs.
Now, T-Will, I got to go back to you on this one. So let's do this then. Over, under, 34.5 wins for your Detroit Pistons led by Joe Dumars and Mo Cheeks. Over, under, 34.5 wins. What you got for me?
Under.
See, Rush, 34.5. What you got?
34.5?
34.5.
Give me the over with 36. We're still under 500, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at the East. Now, here's my problem, T. Well, I know we both are passionate Detroit Pistons fans, and we're not that good, yes. But, T. Will, when you look at the East, it's not good. Like, it's just not good. So this is not the time where, because usually I would say it's better to not make the playoffs than get the 8th seed or 7th seed and get swept. I would usually say that. But in this case, T. Will, if you look at this roster, I think it would be okay if we just get some playoff experience with these guys. And I got to be honest, I think we're going to be better than Toronto. I think we're going to be better than Milwaukee. I think that we can sneak in, T. Will, and get that 8th seed.
Well, I mean, fine. If that's what you think. I mean, my question is, why didn't we make the playoffs this year then? You know, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference? We won 29 games, second to last in our division last year. I mean, we came in, what, fourth or fifth from the bottom in the Eastern Conference? I just don't see a lot changing at the top. I mean, you're going to have your strong teams. You're going to have your mediocre teams. I just don't see a lot changing here. I mean, especially if you got 6'3 Jason Maxill still, you know, getting you putbacks. I mean, it's the same story in Detroit, man. And I think the one constant is we still have Joe here. I loved him as a player, one of my favorites. I shot all my free throws like when I was a kid and in high school. I looked up to him, but as a you know, leading the organization as a general manager, I'm just not agreeing with some of the moves that he's making here, and I don't see much of a change happening in Detroit outside of the coaching staff.
Now, T-Will, you said we won 29 games now, but here's my thing though, T-Will. We will have a better draft pick, so we're going to have a player that can play at that eighth spot. Regardless of who he is, I think that we can all agree on that, unless you know, Joe Dumars falls in love with someone.
Please don't say that love word.
So, and the second thing, though, T-Will, is I do think that we will get one key free agent. So, I think that changes things, though, T-Will. I do think two crucial pieces to go along, especially if Andre Drummond has had a great offseason. He's working hard. Monroe continue to be that double-double guy, T. I think we can go from 29 wins to, you know, that 35 to 36 area.
I mean, it sounds good, but I just don't see it. I mean, I don't see it. I hope so. And I now you guys know I pull for every Detroit team, you know, but I'm just being realistic. I just don't see it, you know. Now, maybe down the line, it may be a different conversation, fine, after the NBA draft, after free agency, after some trades are made, after some rosters are finalized, you know, then we can have a different conversation. And I think it's a little premature to try to make those predictions right now before all of those things happen. But looking at the rosters right now, no, I don't know. Definitely under.
Well, you are going with that under, but like I said, I hope. Like I usually say, once again, I don't think it makes sense to make an 8th or 7th seed in the NBA playoffs. You may as well join the lottery party. But I think in our case, if we plan to keep this young nucleus together, regardless of who it is, I don't think there's anything wrong with go ahead and just making the playoffs and getting that experience. Well, all right, guys. I hope everyone enjoyed our draft preview edition, and especially throwing in about our, you know, Detroit Pistons. Once again, if you want to contact us, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com, and also search us on iTunes. We're getting up to 50 minutes. This was a long show. See, Rush, you still hanging in there? You got a bottle of water? You good?
I'm good. I wanted to hop back in on the Pistons situation, but
No, producer say we got time. Go ahead.
We got producer. We got time. Okay. Yeah, we got time. My thing is this. I think that we can get 4 more wins than last year if Lawrence Frank decided, hey, I'm going to start the 5'9" Jason Maxfield rather than Andre Drummond. I think we could have got a couple more wins than we got last year if he didn't decide to put the 4'6" Jason Maxfield in there.
He getting short about a minute.
I know he is. Well, all right. See, Will, you have a good one, man. Glad to have you back, baby.
Man, I did have a good one, man. I just want to give a shout out to my guys, Brian Piercy and Brian Barnes, the Coach and the Fan podcast. Great football topics. Check us out if you're interested. But Shane and Fon, great job, man. I really do like this NBA talk. It was a great pre-draft show. And we gotta if you guys want to have a Joe Dumars episode, just let me know.
All right.
Legally, I can't. So.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And we always represent 7 Mile as usual. And we out.
Now, please, let me stick my key in your ignition, babe. So I can get this thing started and get rolling, babe. See, I'll be going about waiting on your freeway.